This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The lights are out.
Hurry, get to the lights, go out.
The game is over, and we're here to pick up the pieces. This is Warriors Wrap Up. On 95.7, The Game.
Wiggins off a pick by Bielitsa. Splits traffic this time. Chest pass Kuminga. Look out. Over the head dunk as he turned his back to the basket. Slammed it down. Elevation sensation for Kuminga.
Yeah, Jonathan Kuminga getting an opportunity tonight as the Warriors make the most of all opportunities in beating the Sacramento Kings tonight in Sacramento. 109-90 is the final, so the Warriors pick up win number 50 on the season. Now 50-29, we welcome you inside Warriors Wrap Up. John Dickinson from Golden One Center in Sacramento, where the Warriors got the victory tonight. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. That is the phone number to participate in the program. You can give me a call or shoot me a text. We'll keep it rolling here till about 10 o'clock from Sacramento, and then get on into the night as the Warriors inching closer in this game, building on last night and the fourth quarter and the comeback and the 24-4. I think the big question coming in was, all right, the Warriors were able to get a massive win in terms of the standings and positioning for the playoffs last night because of the closing 8 minutes of that game and the 24-4 run. But it wouldn't mean a whole heck of a lot if you come to Sacramento when you're given Klay Thompson and Andre Iguodala and Otto Porter Jr. the night off on the second of a back-to-back. Last night doesn't mean much if you don't come out and handle the Sacramento Kings, who are playing without their best two players in De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis. So the Warriors come out and just handled business, I thought, tonight with a sense of purpose against a team that by the end of the night, the Warriors had eliminated from playoff contention for the 16th consecutive season. But it really all started with the defense, and the defensive identity, I think, continues to be coming back for the Warriors in this one. They jump out to the 28-14 lead in this game at the end of the first quarter. Sacramento couldn't buy a bucket, but I think a lot of that had to do with the Warriors' just defensive effort early, and I think that tone was set by Draymond Green. Draymond Green being available to play, and we're going to hear from Draymond Green coming up here between now and 10 o'clock. We're going to hear from Steve Kerr on Draymond Green's night and just the importance and how the conversation went as far as Draymond and the medical staff and the coaching staff that allowed him to play in this game, because I don't think there was anybody that believed leaving Chase Center last night that Draymond Green was going to be playing the second of a back-to-back. But it worked out where he did, and he, I thought, helped set a tone early in this game for the Warriors that they weren't going to give it back. This wasn't going to be the Washington game. This wasn't going to be the Orlando game. And they were going to have some sense of trying to build some positive movement forward here in the closing week of the season with the playoffs just around the corner. Consecutive victories for the Warriors for the first time since the game before Stephen Curry went out. It was the one game where Draymond Green and Klay Thompson and Steph Curry were all back together on March the 14th on Steph's birthday. You got to go all the way back to March the 14th and then March the 12th when the Warriors beat the Bucks the last time that the Warriors were able to win consecutive games. So they now we can start to say, okay, maybe over the last three, the moral victories needed to, that were discussed after the Phoenix game needed to be backed up with an extension of that performance against Utah. Kind of a mishmash last night against Utah. The Warriors didn't play great for the first 40 minutes of that game. Some defensive slippage, but then the Warriors able to hit the 18-0 run, to grab the lead in that game, to hold Utah scoreless for nearly 6 minutes and allow themselves to come back. You earn that kind of a win, then it becomes okay. That win validates the things you were talking about Wednesday. Tonight's win validates what you did last night and now sets the Warriors up in a position where you look at the standings and they maintain their position with regard to the third spot in the Western Conference playoff race with three games to go. Dallas won earlier today, so you look at it, and now the Warriors a game up on the Mavericks, 50-29, and the Warriors are going to have to finish a game up on the Mavericks if they're going to be the better seed between those two, because Dallas has the tiebreaker. The bigger issue in play for the Warriors tonight, though, is this puts them, the win tonight, puts them within one game now, either one more win for the Warriors in the final three or one more Denver loss for the Nuggets in their final three. And the Warriors at that point would be locked into being a top four team, which would mean home court advantage throughout the first round of the playoffs. And really, that's there are two things. You want to be in the top four and get that home court advantage. Really, the only difference between three and four, because at this point we know the Warriors are all but assured to play Denver or Utah in the first round of the playoffs. It's going to be one of those two teams. Close of business tonight, it would be Utah, who's dipped to sixth with the Nuggets win earlier today down in Southern California. But it, really, three and four, the major difference is just who you're going to play in the second round. If you wind up fourth, you play Phoenix in all likelihood. If you wind up third, you play Memphis in all likelihood. But you're going to have to probably beat both of those teams anyway, and you're not going to have home court advantage in either of those series if you're going to make a run and wind up in the NBA Finals. So essentially, does it really matter if you play Phoenix first if you're the four? Does it really matter if you play Memphis first if you're the three? Not necessarily as much as it matters to ensure that you're able to have home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs, whether you're playing a team like Denver or a team like Utah. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. John Dickinson in Sacramento at Golden 1 Center as the Warriors get the win tonight over the Kings. 109-90 is the final. Warriors led by as many as 26 in this one. 28-14 at the end of the first quarter. Warriors really playing with a purpose. Andrew Wiggins, aggressive tonight. What do you always look for in these nights where Klay Thompson's not going to be around, but Jordan Poole's going to be playing? Steph's already out. You know Jordan Poole's going to always be aggressive, but Andrew Wiggins was aggressive tonight. And at different points in the game, you'll hear from Steve Kerr, he alluded to the fact that Wiggins attacked when the Warriors needed a bucket and just helped kind of keep the game in control and keep the Kings at bay when they made certain runs. And so a question mark going into this, is it Poole and Wiggins and then everybody else? And tonight it was the case. It wound up being Wiggins and an efficient Poole, 22 points on 15 shots and 4 of 9 from 3, and the Warriors brought the 3-ball back into the fold for the second consecutive game, hitting 16 three-pointers, and the Warriors got off to a very hot start. They were 5 of 7 in the first 6-7 minutes of the ball game tonight, which helped them jump out to that 28-14 lead. Warriors were up 20 at the half and then came out in the third quarter, and Jordan Poole hit back-to-back threes at the beginning of the third quarter. Warriors up at that point 68-42, and it was all but done. I know the Kings did cut it down to 7 in the fourth quarter, but the Warriors able to get enough stops. Draymond Green really leading the run that helped snuff out Sacramento once and for all. Gary Payton the second had a big layup. Wiggins hit a big three in one of those moments where the Warriors really need it, had a dunk later, and the Warriors able to cruise and get this victory against the Kings. So a lot to be, I think, happy about in this one. Wiggins and Poole leading the way. Draymond's ability to play in the second of a back-to-back as a tone setter. And then, by the way, the Warriors also got some positive contributions off the bench tonight from Nemanja Bjelica and Damian Lee. And Jonathan Kuminga had an opportunity. This was a night where, for all of the conversation about why isn't Kuminga playing and what's his role going to be moving forward, the one thing you knew tonight, because others were going to be out, was that Jonathan Kuminga was going to get a lot of minutes. And Jonathan Kuminga tonight made the most of those minutes. 17 points, plus 12, even knocked down a couple of threes. Very nice, efficient return to the rotation when the Warriors needed some of the younger players and players that hadn't been playing much to return to the rotation. 888-957-9570. Let's get Coach in Los Altos up here first tonight on Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Coach.
Hey, JD. How are you tonight?
Doing well, man. Doing well.
Yeah, it's been a couple of great nights. I was there last night for that extraordinary comeback. So of course, left there pretty much. The place was rocking. It's definitely ready for playoffs. And then tonight, this was, you know, this could have been a trap game. And I think, like you, called out, I think you're spot on that Draymond set the tone. But there's a couple of quick comments. One is it just me, or has the officiating just been really, really bad? Like last night at Chase Center, official number 23 was terrible. And it felt like literally every call, every ball that went out of bounds, like there was multiple missed calls. And, you know, and Draymond, who's always pretty fired up, but he's been really almost, I think, egregiously riled up. And so I'm wondering if, number one, are you seeing those calls going south? Because it's been poor officiating in my eyes. And then second, do you think Draymond's bringing a lot of that on himself? And do you think he'll get it under control for the playoffs? But other than that, I'm a Warriors fan right now. They're coming back.
Yeah, no, they are starting to come back. And thanks, Coach. I think, yeah, there have been a couple of calls here and there. I don't think it's been too many all that out of the ordinary in terms of just, you know, on a night-in, night-out basis in an NBA game. I do think Draymond, and we're going to hear from Draymond between now and 10 o'clock. I mean, he addressed what was going on tonight with a couple of the calls and the overturn and some of the conversations that led to him picking up what his 14th technical foul. He was asked about that and addressed it after the game in the press conference room. So I'll let Draymond speak to that. I thought he was toeing that line, as he always does, in terms of you know, the one thing you didn't want, if Draymond was going to play tonight, the one thing you didn't want to see was Draymond get ejected tonight and have it be something that fires up the crowd in Sacramento and a lot of Warrior fans in the house tonight too. But it just, like, if he's going to play tonight, he needed to finish the game tonight. And I thought the Warriors at times were a little too aggrieved, a little too into the officiating, a little petty, actually, is kind of how I put it on Twitter. I thought they were just a little too locked into what was going on there. And my thought was more, hey, play through it. You're dominating this game. Sure, there are some calls that you can question and not be happy about, but don't let it turn into something to where somebody's getting kicked out of the game or it becomes too big of a focus in a game that again, you're essentially dominating. Like, the most important thing is get the heck out of Sacramento with a win, get back to the Bay, you got a few days off, now you're in real good position for home court in the first round, we'll see what happens versus, you know, 3 versus 4. So I thought it was a little petty, to be honest. Like, you know, Kerr pulling Draymond fouls out, and he uses the allotted time, and Draymond's clapping it up at the officials. He uses the full allotted time before he makes the sub as to who's going to go in for Draymond to replace him. Like, I thought there was a little too – Jordan Poole picked up a tech earlier on in the game, and I'm thinking, y'all are better than that, like, tonight. Like, you're playing Sacramento without their best two players. Just handle business and move on. It didn't get out of hand, but there were a couple of times where – you thought it might get out of hand, and that would have been unfortunate. 888-957-9570. Let's go ahead and hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, following this one. We get more phone calls coming up. But Steve Kerr addressed the media here at Golden One Center in Sacramento tonight.
For Andrew, Belly, Jonathan, to see the ball go through the net like it did tonight, what does a game like this do for them?
Andrew and Belly have been in this league for a long time, and they've had plenty of success, and we needed their contributions big time tonight with all the guys out. For JK, every experience is a positive one, whether he plays well or not, just because he's learning so much. But I thought JK was great. It was really a good performance from him at both ends. I thought Wiggs was really the key tonight, just taking over at the right times, had a really efficient game, took care of the ball, distributed it. Played good defense. He was huge, and then Belly off the bench. The whole bench played great. But Belly was really key with his playmaking, rebounding, knocking down some threes. So really good team effort.
What did you think of the sense of purpose just right off the top in the first quarter defensively, kind of set a tone for this?
Yeah, it was great. We needed it. Obviously, we're playing for seeding at this point after clinching last night. And, we really want to, get as high as we can in the standings. So this became a really important game, and missing some key guys, as I mentioned. So it was awesome to have Draymond out there. He said he felt good. So that was a really encouraging sign. He played really well in both games the last two nights. And obviously we thrive on his energy and defense. And so he was great tonight.
How did their conversation go with Draymond?
We just put our heads together with Rick and last night. And, Draymond, the decision was we were going to see how he felt this morning after getting a night's sleep. And he was feeling really good this morning. And so the decision was made. That's a great sign that, coming off the injury, I guess he's been back maybe 2.5 weeks or so now. For him to be able to play back-to-back and bring that kind of energy and look as good as he's looked, he's clearly turned the corner from a physical standpoint.
Do you also think it's part of maybe his urgency also, not only feeling good this morning, but wanting to keep, the ball rolling to get his conditioning even better?
You can ask him that. I just think that he just wants to win, and last night was a huge win for us, but he recognized the importance of this one. First thing he said in the locker room last night was, all you young guys, tomorrow's a huge game and we're going to need you. So for him to be able to play, to help lead them, I thought was an important factor tonight.
How important are those two early 3 pointers from Draymond, especially coming back from a back injury like that?
Yeah, over the years, when Draymond makes 2 threes, we almost always win. He just he softens up the defense a little bit. It gets him going. His energy picks up, and it's a big factor if he can make a couple, and got us off to a really good start.
With just how you guys have played over the last 3 games, do you feel like you're finally kind of getting your identity or getting into group, without Steph? The hope is obviously that he'll be here for the first round, but does this give you confidence?
Yeah, for sure. Last night didn't go well for 40 minutes, and we closed the game really strongly, and that was a huge win. But it was important for us to follow that up with a good, solid performance to try to build some momentum. So winning back-to-back games now after that losing streak is great, and we've got to keep it going now with 3 more games.
With all the ups and downs of this season, what does it mean to hit that 50-win plateau?
50 wins is not easy in this league. And I told the guys that in the locker room afterwards, I don't care how we got here, we got here. And, if you can win 50, you've had a hell of a year. And so I'm really proud of them. We've had all kinds of adversity and injuries, absences. Our guys have stuck together and competed, and here we are. So now the key is, can we keep it going and build some momentum going into the playoffs? And that's the plan.
You guys are obviously grappling for different levels of seeding, but this weekend pretty much ensures you're probably going to be 3 or 4, which gives you home court in the first round. How big is that?
aspect to, you know, I guess stay on the home side of the brand.
Yeah, home court advantage is it's a big deal. We know that. So if we, I think we've got to win one more game to clinch it, or Denver one loss. Yeah. So our work isn't done yet, but that's the goal at this point. And you know, it that stuff matters. We're very confident we can win on the road too. But I've always felt like, you know, having that extra home game is a big deal.
Especially Iverson, that week of practice lead up, you know, to start and chase.
Yeah.
Steph probably going to practice that week. You're lining up to be pretty huge for you guys, right?
It'll be a big week. You know, we'll see how it all goes for Steph. But, you know, having a week or so, if he's able to get on the floor and we can put together three or four really good practices as we prepare, it'd be nice to be able to do that and play two home games, and we'd have a really good stretch at home, good preparation. And so we've got to ensure that, and by winning at least another game.
Yeah, so one more win for the Warriors in the final three, or one loss from the Nuggets in their final three, and the Warriors would lock in to either the 3 or the 4 seed, which means home court advantage. And yeah, that would align pretty well for the Warriors to get home off of the San Antonio, New Orleans final two games of the year on the road. And then they're going to have either 5 or 6 days from that point next week to get ready for games 1 and 2. And that's obviously the big week for Steph Curry as he ramps up for his return potentially in the playoffs, to have all of that just kind of seamlessly run through Chase Center. 888-957-9570. We'll pause here. We'll come back. More reaction to what Steve Kerr had to say. We'll also hear from Draymond Green and Jonathan Kuminga as the Warriors win tonight in Sacramento. They get the job done. 109.90. You heard it right here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
93-86, 5:30 to go. Kuminga outside left. Waiting, holding. Ball not being moved around at all. Shot clock at 5. Only one pass has been made. Draymond Green finds the cutter. It's Gary Payton who scores on a backdoor layup. What a cut by Payton, and Draymond with the assist.
Now back to Warriors wrap up on 95-7 The Game.
Yeah, what a play, and a play, and a big moment of the game, as the Kings had cut the Warriors' once 26-point lead down to 7, 93-86. That was the closest Sacramento would get it in that fourth quarter. And that was the stretch where Draymond had a little mini takeover on both ends of the floor. And that Gary Payton layup gave the Warriors rather a little bit of breathing room from the Kings. And Andrew Wiggins knocked down a 3 after that. And the Warriors were back up 12 on their way to making it 102-88, and then they would wind up cruising from that point on. But that one of the key plays of this ball game, as the Warriors were able to withstand really the one, and it was a soft run, but it was really the one legitimate run that the Kings made all night. Warriors really comfortably, for the most part tonight, able to cruise to victory in this one, 109-90. 888-957-9570. A couple of quick thoughts on what Steve Kerr had to say prior to the break, and then we'll go ahead and hear from Draymond Green and Jonathan Kuminga. I just can't say enough what a positive tone he was able to send just by being able to play. I think his ability to play, and Steve Kerr laying out the fact that it was an option, depending upon how he felt coming out this morning off of the back-to-back last night. But I think when you win a game in the fashion that the Warriors won last night, there's a tendency to maybe have a little bit of a letdown against an inferior opponent in a game where you know a number of the headliners, potentially all three of the headliners, the big three, were going to be out. So to have Draymond have that option to where he can say after the ball game, as Steve Kerr mentioned last night, hey, this is a big game for the young players, but not only say it, knowing that the young players are going to have to play this game, but also be able to be out there with them. I think tonight's one of those examples, and if it hadn't worked out medically, it wouldn't have worked out, and the Warriors would have had to have you know, fended for themselves without Draymond in addition to Clay and Steph. But tonight's one of those games that makes me think of what Steve Kerr had to say and what the reporting was from last month with regard to wanting him to be around the team more, even if he wasn't able to play. Like, he just has a presence to him, an edge to him, an energy to him, to where it's one thing to tell everybody how big a game is, but it's another thing to go out there and be a part of the action in a first quarter where you really snuff the life out of a young team that's even more short-handed and in a woeful position compared to where you're at. And then, oh, by the way, he knocks down the 2 3-pointers early. And yeah, when he knocks down a couple of three pointers, the Warriors are almost unbeatable. And the 50 win mark, I think, was something else I wanted to touch on before we hear from Draymond. 50 wins a big deal for this team. I know 50 win seasons just became just kind of second nature when you look at the Steve Kerr era and through 2015 and winning the championship, and 16 you win 73, and then you get Durant in there for a couple of years. Your bad years are 55, 56, 57 wins. But I think when you go through the last couple of years, and especially the 15 and 50 of 2 years ago, I mean, that team lost 50 games out of 65 2 years ago when things got shut down due to COVID. And, you know, there was a lot of debate as to what this team could be, right? I think most people thought they could be a top six team. I think there were a good chunk of people that thought they could be a top four team. I don't think anybody saw 18-2 or 41-13 when all of that played out on into right before the All-Star break. But 50 wins is I think everybody would have agreed on October the 19th when this season started that if the Warriors were going to get to 50 wins, that would be an incredibly successful regular season, and here the Warriors are on the doorstep of being the 3 seed in the Western Conference, in all likelihood no worse than the 4 seed in the Western Conference, but eclipsing, you know, meeting and potentially eclipsing in these last 3 games that 50 win marker. That is a big deal, and it isn't something that should be taken for granted, even though the bar has been raised for the Warriors in terms of, you know, competing and contending for championships. You're not going to compete and contend for a championship if you can't win 50 games, right? Like, that's one thing. Like, we could talk about, is it important or it's not? Like, you go 47-35, you're not winning a championship, like, flat out. You're just not. So you go 53-29, yeah, you got a shot. You got a shot. So to me, that's just a mark of wanting to be in the mix every year and having an opportunity. And so I do think there is some significance to 50 games. And if you look at the last couple of seasons when the Warriors didn't play on a 50-win pace, 39-33 last year in the 72-game season, and then Steph Curry goes down a couple of years ago and you wind up losing 50 games, I think it does change the perspective a little bit on just how much that means. All right, 888-957-9570. Let's go ahead and hear from Draymond Green as he addressed a number of different topics post-game here in Sacramento. What was going on with the refs, what led to him being able to play in this game, and just how he's coming along and how he thinks the Warriors now are coming along over this 3-game stretch. Have they turned a corner? Let's hear from Draymond.
I felt good after last night's game, and I mean, I need reps. So I felt good. They gave me the option to play. I took the option.
What did happen with the tackle?
I said, that was dead wrong. That's what happened. Then the official then went on to tell me, you spoke to me very generously. You were very generous speaking to me. I gave you a tech for talking to me. So I don't know. What am I at, 14 techs? My last three are kind of insane, but I guess I ain't meet the quota yet. So I'll probably get to 15 like I do every year. It is what it is.
What did this weekend mean for you guys? I mean, obviously that comeback last night and tonight, from a seeding perspective, it pretty much stabilized you guys in probably 3-4 range, but beyond that.
I think more so, forget the seeding. It was a huge win for us last night. And then, you know, you don't want to come in here and lay an egg. You know, simply just told the guys before the game, you got to win the games that you're supposed to win. And tonight is the game we're supposed to win. Anytime you're in a slump, you got to work your way out of it. And I knew Phoenix game, we were out of it. You know, we didn't shoot well. We turned the ball over a lot, and we lost, by 2 points or 4 points or something like that. I had chances to win the game. So you kind of felt that game that we had worked our way out of it. And now, you know, from that point on, it would just be about coming out the following game and executing and building on that. Now, the first half, we didn't at all. But the second half, we picked it up and, you know, we made our run. We got the win and we carried that momentum into tonight. So it was a huge weekend for us just getting back to playing our brand of basketball.
As a guy who's won so many games, he's actually won 60, 67 through 50. Mean anything to you, especially since what it took this year to get there?
It's always great to win 50 games. I try not to take those things for granted, especially after getting our ass kicked the last 2 years. You know, so it does mean something. It's you know, it's a great feat for such a young team. You know, this is still a young team. You know, a very inexperienced team. We have a few guys with experience, but beyond that, there's not much. And so, even for more so than for myself or Clay or Steph or Coach Andre, for these young guys to feel that and now understand how hard it is. Like, it hasn't been easy to get the 50 wins for us. How hard it is, all the things that can go wrong, how you got to stay the course. So I think it does mean a lot. It's great to be back where we are. Now we got to continue to build and try to roll into these playoffs.
Coming off a back injury, how important was it to make back-to-back three corners like that, especially early on?
It was great. I had told myself coming in the game, like, I'm going to come out firing today. And then I hit those two and I stopped firing, but it was great. You know, it was really good to see those couple go in. I missed a couple bunnies that I'll make, and I know that those will go in, so I don't want to worry about it. But it was great. But this is my time of year where I hit shots, you know, so I'm looking forward to those teams been playing me, how they was playing me in game seven. I love that. It's about the time of year where I start shooting 40 from three.
Pretty much, it seemed like there was no distraction, you know, with the situation going on about 3 or 4 blocks away. Really, this morning, how do you feel about this whole situation?
Number one, I you know, send my love and prayers and respect to the families of the victims. You know, it's unfortunate. That's something that, you know, you never want to see. It seems to be becoming more and more prevalent in our communities, in our country. You know, it's kind of not much that you can say, you know, other than, like I said, I send my love and prayers to the families of the victims and also the Sacramento community as a whole. You know, those are the things that affect everyone. You know, it's not like these, you know, these things just happen and then they go away. You know, they alter the way daily life happens in your city, you know, and how that takes place. And so it's unfortunate, but I can't say much other than I send my love and prayers.
Have there been particular plays the last few games that you've been like, ooh, okay, I feel like I'm coming back?
I think so. I think there's been a few plays defensively where I can kind of feel me getting my time and a rhythm back and covering up some things. You know, offensively, I'm starting to find my rhythm too. I got to find my touch again. You know, but other than that, I'm starting to find my rhythm. I can't really pinpoint any specific plays. It's just kind of seemed like these last few games is starting to come together for me.
So in light of your, you know, improved rhythm, you get any concerns about your challenge rate?
Nah, not at all. The reason the guy told me he called a foul and the reason the challenge was unsuccessful were two totally different reasons. So, you know, very similar to peeling a tech. You're kind of appealing to the same people that called a foul. So you better be spot clean if you get that reversal.
Do you feel like you're
defensive like point of emphasis over the last couple of weeks. Just what have you thought about the team's progression and how they're playing?
I think it's starting to pick back up. I think you're starting to see the defense that had us number one defense in the league for 2.5 months. You know, we're getting back to that, and it's a great time to get back to that. For whatever reason, we've had our lapses, and, you know, throughout the course of an 82-game season, that happens at times, you know, but we're getting it back at the right time, and that's, you know, that's what this team was built on earlier in the year. We kind of got away from that, but that's what this team has to be built on going into the playoffs, and it's good to see that that's, you know, that's starting to look how it needs to look again. I think, you know, we need to cut back on the fouls. That's something that we can definitely control. And, you know, if we cut back on, they had 90 points and we were fouling all night. I mean, you cut back on the fouls, you know, you could take a lot of stuff away. So, I mean, 24 free throws, that wasn't a team that had the superstars as we know it in this league that draws fouls. You know, that's, we need to improve up on that. But overall, I'm pretty pleased with the progression that our defense has started making again over the course of the last week and a half, 2 weeks.
Is this team concerned about seeding in general? No.
It's not something that we've spoke about much. I think we've more so spoke about playing the game the right way, doing the things that we know is going to make this team successful. But as far as, you know, the seeding, no, that's not something that we've really spoken about. Whether you're the 3 seed or the 6 seed, the way I look at it, 3 seed, you still got to win a road game because no one's trying to go to game 7. We know how those go. It's a coin flip. So you still got to win a road game. If you're the 6 seed, you still got to win a road game. So if you're any seed, you got to play the better teams to get to the finals. So it is what it is.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's pretty well said there. I think the Warriors want to be able to have home court advantage in the first round. I think opponent at this point, nondescript, doesn't really matter either way, whether it winds up being Denver and Utah. And in all likelihood, you look at the schedules that each of these teams have remaining, it's likely the Warriors are going to be the 3 or the 4, which means home court advantage throughout the first round of the playoffs. It's likely they're going to play either Utah or Denver, whether Denver winds up the 6 or the 5 and Utah vice versa. And then wherever you fall, will really the biggest change or difference is, do you play Memphis or do you play Phoenix in the second round of the playoffs? But again, if you're going to make it all the way to the finals, which is the ultimate goal, you're probably going to have to beat both anyway and not have home court advantage in either of those series. A couple other quickie takeaways from Draymond. Him saying he needs reps right now, I think that was a big part of the consecutive games and him being out there in the second of a back-to-back. I also think it probably made it a little easier to play Draymond tonight, and he only ended up playing 23 minutes tonight, but I think it probably made it easier to play him in this game tonight, knowing that the Warriors do not have another game until Thursday. So he can get the rest that he needs tomorrow. They can work him through things the next couple of days through a Tuesday, Wednesday-type practice situation, and then you're playing Thursday, and then we'll see what the Warriors do next week as far as that final weekend of the year. That the times of those games were announced also during the game tonight. The times for the games next weekend were announced. The Warriors in San Antonio on Saturday, a 5:30 Pacific tip-off for that game, and then the season finale is going to be a late one, 6:30 next Sunday evening in New Orleans, so 8:30 local time in New Orleans, but 6:30 out here on the West Coast with the Pelicans, I think, getting slotted into a national game because they're likely to be playing for positioning as far as the play-in tournament goes. So they wind up in that final group on the final night of the season against the Pelicans at 6:30, and then it'll be on to the playoffs from there. The play-in tournament to take place a week from Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and the playoffs begin now less than 2 weeks away on the 16th or the 17th with Game 1 and Round 1. What did this weekend mean for the Warriors? They backed it up. You know, talked about it earlier. They backed up the win last night. They backed up what they did against Phoenix. I thought it was interesting, Draymond talking about the fact that he knew they were out of the slump on Wednesday, even in defeat against the Suns. And I think that's something where we all listen when Draymond speaks to those kinds of points, but you also have to go out there and continue what you think you saw in that game against Phoenix. And that means you got to get a win against somebody in that next game like Utah. And the Warriors didn't play well for a good chunk of that game, but they found a way to get a win, and then you can't give it back by losing to a team that it, Sacramento, the position that they were in with the players that they had out. So I think the Warriors have now, we can say, turned a little bit of a corner as far as trying to head down a more positive finish to this season. And I think Draymond specifically has turned a little bit of a corner in terms of his working his way back and getting a rhythm and conditioning and all of that, although Draymond says he still has to get the touch in order. All right, let's get to the shot of the game presented by the County of Santa Clara. Here it is.
Here comes Jordan Poole with a brilliant move, coming baseline, steps around two defenders, got the reverse layup to fall, and it's 90-71.
He's learning how to use that rim.
Yeah, Jordan Poole, clever move, getting into the lane. Warriors kind of coasting at that point. And, one of the niftier plays of the night from Jordan Poole, in a night where Poole was a real positive force for the Warriors. Efficient, didn't have to shoot it in the 20s tonight to have an impact on this one. But nevertheless, for Jordan Poole, it was a nice night as he goes for 22 points, 15 shots, knocked down 4-9 from three-point range. Didn't get to the free throw line in this one. The Warriors did foul significantly more than Sacramento did tonight. But just a nice, calm game for Jordan Poole. Did have four turnovers. Can get a little loose with it and transition from time to time, but all in all, a nice night for Jordan Poole. So that was the shot of the game presented by the County of Santa Clara. Book a COVID-19 booster shot now at sccfreevax.org, or you can call 211. All right, before we get out of here, let's hear from the Rook, Jonathan Kuminga. Nice night for him. And nice to see Kuminga back and getting minutes. I know there's been a lot of questions about why has Kuminga not been playing. I think we've seen Steve Kerr the last two games go to a more playoff-oriented rotation where Kuminga maybe isn't going to get regular minutes or be in that rotation all the time. He also didn't play particularly well in the three games prior to that, which were all starts for Kuminga when Steve Kerr took Kevon Looney out for a couple of games and wanted to see Draymond and Kuminga playing together. But Kuminga back out there tonight and back taking advantage of an opportunity in these developmental games where many of the big players are going to be out there for the Warriors. So let's hear a couple of minutes of Jonathan Kuminga meeting with the media here in SAC.
Kind of playing a tough. I mean, it's a needed night for the team. Because since last night, since even the night against the Suns, the way we've been playing, it was just adding things on top of each other, on top of things. This game we needed to win. Some players didn't play, and everybody needed to contribute. So I think that's why we came out here and did it.
It seemed like in that fourth quarter, you know, when the Kings were making their run, trying to chip away and get back into the game, seems like Draymond really, like, took control of that offense and got you guys back in the rhythm. Is that something you saw too much that night?
I mean, I feel like just everybody came up and we all look at the score. We had a big lead, and that reminded us of the game the night before. I mean, we had a big lead. They had a big lead. We came back. So, basically, we didn't want the same thing to happen, so we had to just step up and finish the game the right way.
Has it been difficult lately? I mean, obviously, I know you go back to early in the season, your role fluctuates a ton, but you were getting kind of steady minutes. As the playoffs have come closer, it's like tight, the rotation's tightened up a little bit. How have you just kind of been handling that?
I mean, you always got to stay ready whenever your name gets called. It's just the same way as the beginning of the season. I wasn't playing a ton. I end up starting playing, and then that's how it's going to be like. Just got to stay ready and just wait until your moment comes.
The Phoenix game and particularly the Utah game kind of felt a little playoffy. I mean, did you feel the elevated level of just importance, possession to possession?
I mean, kind of. I'll say so. Every position matter. Every plays matter. I think that was all about those games.
Are you starting to have conversations with some of the veterans in the locker room about what to expect, you know, with the postseason and how that's just different?
I won't say I'm having a conversation. I mean, the coaches, everybody, they always talk about it out of the blue. So you just got to listen. And especially I get a chance to be playing certain games with the speed against the good teams. I see it. And after the game or halftime, they just be talking about that's how the playoffs going to be. That's the pressure. That's how loud the crowd going to be like. So as a young player, you got to open your ears and just listen to what people are saying and learn from that. I think that's basically what I've been doing pretty much.
Each player mentioned the different roles that you've had to play this season, but what have you just thought about your overall progression?
I mean, I feel like I'm doing good for the most part. There are days I'm having bad games. There are days I'm not going to play. And a lot of people didn't expect me to start getting better or having a feel to play with everybody else here for my first year. So just being at a position, I feel like I'm doing just fine. A rookie being at Golden State. So.
All right, so Jonathan Kuminga making the most of the opportunity tonight, 31 minutes, 19 points. He was aggressive. He played very well in this ball game tonight, the 17 points. Just a nice night for Kuminga. And got to give a nod to Nemanja Bjelica, the Bjelica revenge game, 3 3-pointers. Bjelica hadn't hit 3 3-pointers since December. And he goes for a season high against his former team, 19 points. Bjelica's prior season high, 15 on opening night at the Lakers when he helped the Warriors get what at the time seemed like a pretty big win. But how about this line for Bjelica? 19 points, 12 boards, and 6 assists. There were a couple of points there in the second half where I thought maybe Bjelica was chasing a triple-double there, picked up a couple of turnovers trying to get into the lane and maybe kick it out to somebody to try and pad those assist totals. But he led the Warriors with 6 assists on a night where they had 29. And it was a lot of sharing the ball. Kuminga had 4 assists. That's impressive. Poole with 5. Draymond with 5. And Wiggins had 5. So the Warriors spreading it around. Couple more turnovers than maybe they would like at different points, but overall a real solid night for the Warriors. All right, that's going to do it for us. For everybody back in our San Francisco studios, including Sterling Bennett, thanks for their help. Excellent work by one and all. I'm John Dickinson. Warriors back in action on Thursday at Chase Center, Warriors and the Lakers. That's the home finale for the regular season. Nothing for the Dubs tomorrow, Tuesday or Wednesday. We'll talk to you on Thursday as Damon will be on Warriors Live, and I'm going to be joining Damon for Warriors Live for that one as well. Warriors and the Lakers from Chase on Thursday. So that'll do it from Sacramento, where the Dubs beat the Kings tonight 109-90. You heard it right here on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.